It's Jeremy White.
You don't necessarily need irons to play golf. I'm just going to hit driver and bump three woods in the fairway and then putt.
And Joe DiBiase.
Anyone, I've got a buddy who hits a golf ball like 300 yards, but it goes everywhere.
Well, of course I know it. He's me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Picture me shaking out the last few drops of beer. That's this golf season right now. A couple more rounds out there, folks. You can get a couple more.
That one, maybe today after some rain. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow and Thursday.
Thursday.
Like the days.
Come on, the weekend.
70s and sunny.
I think we got weeks left of this golf season.
Weeks? Multiple?
Weeks.
Weeks.
Jeremy and Joe on WGR waiting on
November golf.
Have a conversation with Seth Apper. Go behind the bench for the Sabres in a moment. Kyle in Niagara Falls quickly has been waiting on hold. We'll get to Kyle's call. Hey, Kyle.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Morning.
Long-time listener. It's my first time calling in. I drive for Uber, so I listen to you guys all day.
All right. What's up?
You guys were talking about the Bills and, you know, what's the rest of the year and their schedule and that. So I've recently been talking about this. If the one seed isn't in play, I would almost rather them lose to the Chiefs in the regular season. And you would, I mean, because the national analysts are pretty much not really talking about Buffalo and their perspective. What they would be talking about would be same old Bills, can't beat the Chiefs. I just feel like it would be like bulletin board material. Bills would be more hungry to beat them in the playoffs. I mean, if our only loss is the rest of the season, I would like it that way. Just, I don't know.
Yeah,
we beat them in the regular season. You know, I want to beat them in the playoffs.
I know what you mean. I think you're going to hear it though, no matter what. So I would just say try to ignore it, and I don't think you need them to be any hungrier to beat the Chiefs.
No, I'm pretty confident that by the time they get to the playoffs,
I think they know what the deal is.
Yeah. Plenty hungry. Thanks for the phone call. I thought he was going to go to the whole, like, don't play for the one seed, which I've heard a couple calls on that, and I've got I'm working up a let's get stupid for that that's like weeks and weeks and weeks away. So, you know,
okay.
Humor me on that. We'll table it for now. Let's go behind the bench, though. Time to have a chat with Seth Apper, Sabre assistant coach. Go behind the bench on WGR, brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. And by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus, Sabre assistant coach Seth Apper joining us. We do Lindy some days. We do Seth Apper. We're going to get some players in. And right now it's the Sabre assistant coach. Seth, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for taking some time today.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We opened the show today talking about last night's game, and you know, I'm sure moral victories are cheap, or maybe don't really exist. But both Joe and I kind of felt like that was a game that was there to be had, and sometimes a fairly even hockey game ends with a score that looks a little bit more crooked than it was. I thought it was a really nice effort from your team, and particularly the second period, rallying down from 2-0 to get that game to even.
Yeah, the second period was a good response. You know, I think as a staff, we probably don't feel we were as good as we need to be last night. From, you know, just from controlling the play and creating enough offensive opportunities at a 5-on-5. So, you know, I think the scoreboard, you know, was what it was at the end of the day. I think the good part was I don't think we were at our best. We still gave ourselves a great chance to win. Against the defending Stanley Cup champions in the game, we got down 2-0 right away.
In terms of the overall gameplay, Seth, and kind of the style of play, does it feel like the intensity, though, was there from beginning to end? I mean, there were some penalties that were taken. The refs kind of felt like they were calling a lot in that game on both sides. In terms of the intensity, how did you feel like the style of this team this year matches up with the Florida?
Yeah, we're on our way towards being that, and that's the goal, right? And it doesn't happen overnight. You know, they're years into that, and we're what, 10 games or whatever it is, into trying to play the style that Lindy wants us to play. You know, fast, competitive, hard on the puck, getting to the blue paint offensively, and we've taken big steps in that regard, and there was a lot of that last night. But we just need to keep building, building on what we've done so far.
How optimistic are you to see the power play now score for a second consecutive game? I know as the season, as a whole, still doesn't look great numbers-wise. How do you feel like the process, though, has gone there, and are you seeing real improvement other than just even the goals going in the back of the net?
Yeah, it's something that we have to get better at for sure. At the beginning of the year, it wasn't near good enough, and that's on me to provide solutions for our players. But I think that our guys have done a really good job working on it, and our process has been good. And we were starting to see that before the results, and that's the way it always works. As a coaching staff, you see things that are heading in a good direction before the public gets to see them, because the way we're practicing the details. And I think we had a 5-game stretch before we scored 2 games ago where we were 6th in the NHL in our power play entry percentage. We were 5th in the NHL in creating high danger passing situations, which lead this to high end scoring chances. So the faceoffs have been an issue on the power play, certainly, and we're continuing to work on that. So we were seeing a good process that we were seeing in practice. It was coming out in games. We had about 3 or 4 real good efforts before we finally got the results. Even in the Dallas game, we only had 1 power play. We didn't score, but we created a ton of momentum because of the scoring chances that were created off of it. That positive momentum then led to us scoring 2 5-on-5 goals to break that game open a couple minutes later. And that's the power play. You want to create momentum for your team. Certainly you want to score, which we did last night, but you want to create positive momentum with the process, with the habits, with the work ethic that goes into it.
Seth, one thing I wonder, as you break down some of those stats about where you're ranked in zone entry percentage, and whether it's the NHL or the AHL or the college level, are today's coaches and today's players digging into those numbers? Like, for instance, the power play is struggling, but you can take it to the group and say, guys, we are 6th in successful zone entries. Like, the work is starting to pay off. Is that something you normally do? And do the players, does it help to dig into that? Whether it's a 5-game sample, in the last 3 games, whatever it might be, when you can show them that there are results even though they're not on the scoreboard yet.
Yes, that's something that I did in Rochester a lot, that we do here in Buffalo. It's good for the players to have proof that what we're working on is there's payoff to that, that the process is working, that is leading to good results. And sometimes wins and losses in our industry can skew your view of the process. And that's our job as a coaching staff to navigate through the mud, so to speak, and get down to the things that matter. And sometimes pointing out and having the numbers to back up those things are important to get the player buy-in that you need to be successful.
I want to go back to the power play for just a moment, Seth. Last year, Tage Thompson saw a drop in power play production. That could have been a lot of things, too, not just the power play itself, but he was dealing with injuries. This year, looking at the unit that you guys have together, how important – I'm thinking of Paterka for this, because he has not spent as much time on the power play up until this season. How important is his spot for – I almost want to say opening up – Thompson on the other side, because it looked like teams, especially last year, really started queuing in on him and paying more attention to him. Is it up to Paterka or the unit as a whole to kind of create more space for Tage?
Yes. I mean, I've said this before, the league isn't just going to let Dahlin pass to Tage and hit one-timers anymore. And so where Tage is going to get his shots are more from creating chaos and putting the penalty kill in stressful situations. Well, you can only do that in 2 ways, really. And one of the ways is winning loose puck battles on recoveries. Both the goal we scored the scoring chances we created last night in our second power play, and the goal we got the game before, were on a lot of loose puck recoveries. So then you get how do you get loose puck recoveries? Usually it's by shooting a puck first. So shot creates chaos. Get the penalty kill into chaos, win a puck battle, and then your opportunity to hit Tage starts to increase That's where he got the shot the other night, which led to Zucker's goal. The more threatening JJ is, JJ had a great one-timer last night that he almost tied the game on that Bobrovsky made a big save. He just missed one, probably off the knob of the goalie's stick in the Detroit game. So the more dangerous JJ becomes on the other flank, and the more they have to honor that, then yes, the more opportunity that creates for Tage.
Sabres assistant coach Seth Ebert joining us on the Wester Hotline after last night's game against Florida. You know, as we think about this team, and one of the problems maybe that's cropping up a lot is the number of penalties and how often you're on the penalty kill. Maybe the best penalty kill is not taking penalties. What is there that you can do as a team to just play smarter, be smarter, take fewer penalties? Because it does seem like there have been a couple games where the parade to the penalty box has been the biggest problem.
Yeah, it's really hard to have a great penalty kill if you have to kill four or five off. And it's a lot easier to have great penalty kill if you only have, you know, one, two, or three. That's the reality of it. If you keep giving their best players opportunities, that's a recipe for disaster. And so, you know, there's a balance. We are trying to build an identity that we're hard to play against, that coming into this building is going to be demanding. We're going to be physical. We're going to win puck battles. We're going to pay a price to get to the blue paint. We're going to pay a price to keep you away from our blue paint. And there's growing pains and learning that comes with that identity, and sometimes the cross the line. And we need to become more disciplined and have accountability to each other to not take unnecessary penalties. Some penalties, the penalties you take to prevent a great scoring chance, the penalties that are a little more violent sometimes in nature, it's amazing that you usually find ways to kill those off. And the penalties that are a little more undisciplined, the hookings, the holdings, the penalties that aren't as impactful in the play, a lot of times those are the ones that end up in the back of your net.
Seth, you have previous experience, obviously, even before this season with Jack Quinn in Rochester, and he is sitting on right now just 2 points on the season, scored the empty net goal the other night. He also, of course, dealt with injuries last year that, you know, could be affecting him even now. But for your eyes, where is he at, and how far away do you think he is from getting back to being an important offensive contributor on this team?
Well, I'd say number one, I have all the belief in the world in him from my time with him, seeing him overcome and rise through adversity throughout his time in Rochester and here. There is a reality to the guys, and he's one of them, that missed a massive amount of time. He almost missed the whole season last year. And getting back into game situations, feeling the pressure of games, the competitiveness of games, the quickness of mind that you have to play with in terms of your decision making, and then also the physical ability to withstand physical games because of some of the time you've missed. So there is a process that it takes to getting back to being comfortable at game speed that I'm sure he's going through. Like I said, I've got all the faith in Jack in the world that he's gonna work through this and become the complete player and the offensive player that we know he can become.
And then one other individual that I want to get to with you. How have you feel like, he didn't play last night, but otherwise has been in the lineup. How do you feel like Jiří Kulík has made the transition to the NHL this year?
I think he's done some really good things, and there's growing pains that come with that. But there's been more often than not, he's been dangerous on the ice when he's played. He's attacked offensively. He's used his shot as an advantage. He's created scoring opportunities for himself and his teammates. I think he's playing on the inside. That's something, you know, he had to learn coming from Europe, winning battles, being strong on the puck. You know, the things that we've been on him about in the American League over the last couple of years, like when you come up to the NHL, usually you're not going to just go score, you know, over a point a game in your first 10, 15, 20 games, whatever that is. And so things that keep you in the lineup, things that keep getting you opportunities are the details. Do you back check well? Do you check well? Do you win puck battles? Are you good on the wall? Because coaches play players that they trust, not that are just talented. And so Yuri's done a real good job earning some of Lindy's trust, which has earned more ice time, which then he has more opportunity to show the offensive weapons that he has.
Sabres assistant coach Seth Eppert on the Western Hotline. Seth, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll do it again later in the year.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Seth Eppert, as we go behind the bench, again, Tuesdays at 8, plenty of times we'll be chatting with Lindy Ruff. Sometimes we'll mix in the Sabres assistant coach, Seth Eppert, sometimes some players, and that's that. So Sabres next in action Friday against the Islanders. And that segment brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. And by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus.
Speaking of hockey, very quickly, Connor McDavid was injured early last night, did not return. So, and they're on a road trip.
Went back to Edmonton.
He's going back to Edmonton. So we'll see what's going on with McDavid.
Meanwhile, speaking of former number one overall picks that are incredible hockey players, Steven Stamkos went back to Tampa last night.
I knew that was happening, and I didn't see anything. I mean, I'm sure he got a huge tribute.
He did. In fact, he did something I'd never seen before. So he's back in Tampa. Stamkos playing with the Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
Preds at Lightning. And they do the thing where they honor, welcome back Steven Stamkos. I've never seen this before. I don't know if it's been done. It may have. He took a lap on the ice. Standing ovation.
Okay.
He took a lap.
He took a lap.
Which I feel,
like it's that's definitely deserved there.
I want to have a new standard of there's the thanks on the Jumbotron and a wave, and then there's that you should have to take a lap.
Well, one, there's just the photo on the message board, like, hey, welcome back, blank. Then there's tribute video.
Yep.
Then there's tribute video with lap on the ice.
Yeah.
That's the max.
The highest I'm level thinking. Is the lap on the ice.
Okay.
I want to see that more for players that earn a lap on the ice.
I think... No, never mind. Not a comeback. Solani did this, but it would have been his last game with the Ducks, not like coming back to Anaheim.
Okay.
So that's different.
Took a lap, like a goodbye.
This is taking a lap, coming back to your team. You're on the other team.
Yeah.
Has there been any Sabre in like the last 15 years that would have earned a lap?
I was just going to say, the breakup has to be healthy.
I think Miller. I was there.
If Miller had taken a lap.
I was there the night. It was an afternoon game. They played Vancouver. They won the game. They tied it late. And Miller got a long tribute video and a long standing ovation. And that night, that day would have been perfect for it.
Yeah. In Tampa, you know, they put 91 number. They put projected 91s on the ice.
Yeah.
It looked like a retirement. Or it looked like a tribute where you raise a guy's numbers to the rafters. Here's a guy on the other team skating the ice, and we're going to celebrate him. The Tampa Bay Lightning head coach, he's there clapping.
Yeah.
Cooper's there clapping. Like, it's just pretty cool. So
nice
to see that you can occasionally have a player leave a team, and you don't have to hate him.
I mean, it helps when you've won multiple Stanley Cups.
True. That is a big part of it.
It's a huge, huge factor here, as he was the captain of multiple Stanley Cup champions. But yes, otherwise, that's what you need. You need the championships.
Yeah.
Can you get the lap without winning a championship?
Yes.
You'd have to be...
You can. Who's a player right now in the NFL that should get... Boy, I don't know about a hockey. I don't know if hockey has too many.
Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Sorry to get off track here. Did you see who's now in Green Bay? This will be the funniest thing of all time if it happens.
Who's in Green Bay?
I want to double check. I didn't get spoofed.
See, who's in Green Bay? What does it being in Green Bay mean?
Someone got hired. Here it is. The Packers have hired Robert Saleh.
Amazing.
He's now going to be an offensive assistant.
Yeah.
So I guess look what he's going to work. He's going to help with game planning for defenses. Like, hey, this is what the defense is looking for. Robert Saleh's in Green Bay. And it will be, if the Bills don't win the Super Bowl this year, this is what I want to have happen. I want the Packers to win the Super Bowl and Robert Saleh to hoist the Lombardi Trophy on the stage. It would be the funniest thing of all time. It's already funny that he went there. Right? Like,
Oh, this guy got me fired. You know what? I'm going back to his place. I'm gonna go to his spot that he left.
You know, as you say, you want the Packers to win if it's not the Bills. I just realized that there's about to be a big time internal debate for some Bills fans. Because there are plenty of Bills fans, and this is not unique to Bills fans. If your franchise has never won a Super Bowl, sometimes you don't want a team that's never won it to do it.
Uh-huh.
Right? We talked about this at training camp. I don't want Lamar to win one. I don't want Burrow to win one. I don't want anyone to win before Josh. This is when it can't, training camp, because they'd rather have the Chiefs win. So here's a little bit of offshoot of that point. Do you want the Lions to win their first Super Bowl before the Bills do? No. But aren't they unbelievably likable?
Yeah.
Don't you want Dan Campbell to win a Super Bowl?
There's no other reason you would pick to not have them win other than, well, I don't want them to win before the Bills.
They have so many players that are fun to watch and worth liking. Amon-Ra St. Brown is awesome. David Montgomery is so good.
Goff
and fun.
Story even a little bit because he got discarded by his old team.
He's a misfit.
Yeah.
You know,
Dan Campbell, just in general,
that would be a real tough one. I don't want a team to win it before my team, and they've never done that before.
In their situation, I wouldn't want to care about it at all.
If it's Lions v. Well, in that case, if it's not the Chiefs.
That'd be easy.
If it's Lions, let's say the Bills don't make it. It's Lions Ravens, Lions Texans, Lions.
I don't think there's anybody in the AFC that Bills fans would choose over the Lions.
That's a part of this. But Lions Chiefs, what would it be?
Yeah. Like Lions versus Niners in the NFC Championship game. Who were Bills fans rooting for? How could you not pick the Lions?
I know.
How could you not?
All right, Howard's here. He's going to pick the Bills. I wonder if he's going to be sad about the Yankees. He's rooting for the Yankees in this series.
I don't know. He's not going to be sad. He might be a little disappointed. He's not going to be coming in here depressed.
Prove to me that him rooting for the Yankees isn't the curse that's currently over them right now. Does that mean to say when he walks in here, should I not say that?
It's the Howard curse.
I'm just saying, you know.
Can Howard start rooting for the Chiefs?
We got a Met fan in the mix.
We need to buy Howard a Mahomes.
We got to go down 0-3.
Can we buy Howard a Chiefs jersey then?
That's a good idea.
Let's buy him a Chiefs jersey.
803-0550 to join us. 1-888-550-2550. Thanks to Seth Appert. Howard picks the Bills next.
2-2 to Torres. Bouncing ball towards the middle. Edman with a spin and a throw. And the Dodgers dominate game three. They're a win away from a world championship. A 3-0 series lead over the Yankees.
Dodgers up 3-0. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. You were out in the hallway. You didn't hear what I said previous segment, did you, Mr. Howard Simon?
I said,
is there any fear that you, the Mets fan, have brought this pox on the Yankees house by rooting for them in this series?
Possible.
Are you upset?
I'm a wily genius.
Yeah.
I'm a mad, evil genius.
Your son works for the Yankees.
Yes.
He's down 0-3, and there's you on the phone be like, yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame. Yeah,
I was going to text him a sorry kid today, but I knew he had a late night, so I'm waiting.
It's not over yet.
It's over.
Ooh.
It is over with a capital O-V-E-R.
I don't know.
There's no way the Yankees were going to win this series. So, the Dodgers were a better team. The Mets would have beat the Yankees in the World Series.
Oh, there we go.
There it is.
They would have. The Mets would have beat the Yankees in the World Series.
They got to trade Judge, right?
I can't believe how bad his playoff numbers are.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, it's incredible. He's striking out every other at bat on the average.
I'm kidding, by the way, Yankee fans. I don't think
no, but actually, maybe this is good. Then Soto won't be happy and he'll sign with the Mets.
There you go.
That might happen anyway.
I'm good with that.
And that might happen anyway.
All right,
well,
that's fine.
Welcome back for your weekly picking of the Bills.
Yeah.
Your review on the Seattle game. How'd you feel?
Fun, huh? How about, you know, I got to be honest with you. We're having some very low-stress Bills games this year.
Yep.
I mean, I was never really nervous in the Tennessee game. Arizona, the first half. Miami game was over after the first quarter. By halftime, that game was done. Mm-hmm. That Jacksonville game, I'll tell you what, they're making life a little easier in their victories, which is nice. Now, start to finish, that's the most complete game they've played. Everything, right? The only thing, penalties. Yeah. But outside of that, I mean, even when Josh fumbles, the ball gets recovered by the Bills. Everything was going their way. So I was really impressed. I'm glad to see the offense coming around. This is now a game and a half where the Bills passing game looks like how it used to be. Mm-hmm. And guys, The defense is playing far better than I thought it was going to play. And I think it's a very much whole better than some of the parts type of unit. Just guys make plays. And it's nice to see. I mean, they're on the division will be clinched before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
They're up four on Miami in the loss column, and they can sweep them. And the Jets, if the Jets lose to Houston, they're going to be down five in the loss column to the Bills and have the tiebreak against them. I mean, this is ridiculous.
There's a strange quirk in the standings I saw, that the Jets are behind the Patriots in the standings and also in the draft order.
Huh.
Yeah, because they apply different things. The draft order is strength of opponent.
It's not just because they're the Jets
versus conference. So the Jets, but if the draft were today, the Jets would draft fifth.
Amazing.
Maybe they'll draft a quarterback. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how bad they are. What is it, five straight losses for them now?
Five straight losses.
And losing to New England, who had lost six straight?
Yeah.
It's just...
It was the first time, or was it the second time, teams that had given up less than 250 yards and not turned the ball over were something like 751.
Yeah, and scored 20 points.
It's the Jets.
751 with a dump.
But they lost.
J-E-T-S.
Yep. All right, well, let's get you to pick the Bills here that's what the people want. I can hear they're outside our windows chanting.
I thought I saw a group of people with signs
Bills.
That said pick the Bills.
Pick the Bills. Howard's going to pick the Bills.
A tradition unlike any other.
Howard's here.
I think I saw a UFO last night.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm 62. I may have actually lost it altogether by now, so who knows.
Yeah.
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills!
I will pick the Bills and their rejuvenated passing game to go to Seattle and win this football game.
And they throw a quick hitter to Coleman, who catches it over the head of Woolen for a touchdown. Keon Coleman went up and pulled it off the roof. Steps up in the pocket, throws, has Kincaid lunging into the end zone for the touchdown.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
What'd you call their revamped, improved passing game? What was it, the word?
Revamped, no. I think.
Whatever it was. I listened.
It's come back to life.
I listened to it, and then I already forgot because I was going to make a point about it.
I wasn't even listening to it.
So, fun fact for you.
Yes, sir.
Because sometimes people get mad at me for saying the Bills should throw it more. They have their four highest pass over expectation games. Okay?
Yeah.
Joe, you tweeted this. Mm-hmm. Game by game, their pass rate versus run rate, neutral pass rate, neutral run rate.
Yeah.
Their four highest games. One of them is Baltimore. Okay, that's score effect.
That's score effects. They were behind.
Remove that one. The other three?
Arizona.
No.
Oh, I figured
Arizona,
they started
chucking
the ball
after
the first
half. Arizona got down, and they won a close game.
Okay.
Gonna keep guessing? Jacksonville, Tennessee, Seattle.
Hmm.
When they blow
teams out.
How do you blow teams out?
Right.
If you're the Bills, you throw it.
Yeah, because if you think about, they ended up blowing out Miami, but some of that is score effects too. I think they ran more than they threw
that's
that
right.
night.
That's a game where they didn't need to throw the ball.
No,
so
but
you
the game was over in the second half.
I wouldn't criticize the game plan. They were
right.
Throw to win, baby. That's what this team is.
That's what it has been.
And they do run it well.
And they do, and James Cook is a really good back, and so is Ray Davis.
I like to sprinkle in the run.
But
you're not a running team. You're a running sprinkle.
You have... Nice. You now have a real top three again, receivers, right? Cooper, Shakir, whatever order you want to put him in. Cooper, Shakir, Coleman, right? Once again, I think you're feeling like the Bills have a legit top three group of receivers.
I also have that twisted thing where I'm mad at the team for doing something good because this whole drafting of Keon Coleman thing could have happened like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You just needed another guy like this.
Yep.
A guy like this was just ready to be on the team. Anyway, glad he's here.
Oh, and the trade for Cooper. I know he didn't have statistically a big game the other day, but he's the guy that he's like Diggs. When he's on the field, you have to account for him.
Yep.
You have to plan to try and keep him from beating you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Still haven't received word on whether or not Diggs is out for the year, but the thought is it might be ACL, so he might be done.
It looked bad. Yeah, I mean, non-contact, and he just pulls up grabbing his knee.
That's no good. No. Tough.
Yeah.
Okay, on to Howard picks the Bills. This week it's going to be Miami at home. Tua is back.
Yeah.
Maybe a friendly round of applause.
Yeah, well, and he slid the other day, thankfully, when he was running.
He got a standing ovation for sliding.
Yeah, he did. I'm going to go ahead and schedule Mr. Brightside for somewhere around 3:13 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
A raucous Mr. Brightside at the stadium.
So I was looking at some numbers. The four games Tua missed, Miami scored a total of 40 points in four games.
Maybe he's the MVP.
He comes back, they scored 27. They did lose on a walk-off.
What stronger
Arizona.
Case is there than he's literally worth three touchdowns a game?
Well, their offense does not exist without him running it, period, plain and simple. But this is Miami. This is Josh Allen. Did you guys know that Josh is, what is it now? I think he's like 12-2 or 13-2 against the Dolphins in his career. He's never lost a home game to them. He's 7-0 in Orchard Park against the Dolphins. And in those seven games, the Bills have averaged 38 points a game. Win, baby.
Win. Bills at Colts. Interesting who the starting quarterback will be for in Indianapolis. Anthony Richardson is getting shredded for taking himself out of a game.
Yeah, it's not
I saw, if you wanted to try a spin zone here, one defense of that decision to be, it's third and forever.
Oh, is it?
It was third and goal from the 20.
Yeah, he had just scrambled and ran all over the place.
Right, so rather than take a sack, he's a quarterback that's a young quarterback, might take a sack, or make a stupid play. Mm-hmm. Actually taking himself out of the game there was a good idea because the field goal was in the bag.
Tough to sell to everybody, though.
You know, hey.
Inside the room.
I admired the attempt.
I mean, they'd still have to play this kid, right? What's the point of playing? Well, they're, what, 4-4? Maybe they think they'll salvage the season and actually make the playoffs with Flacco. But what's the point? Bills are going to win.
Yes, I agree with that. Bills win. Bills beat the Colts. Bills Chiefs.
So I looked at this one to think, is Kansas City unbeaten coming here?
Very possible.
They are 7-0. They have a home game against Tampa. I think it's a Thursday. Was it a, no, the Jets are on Thursday.
Monday night.
And then they play home against Denver.
So they'd be 9-0?
Mm-hmm.
I'm old enough to remember the Chiefs coming here when they were 9-0 and beating the Bills because of the Sean Smith 100-yard interception return.
Ooh, wow. That's a good one.
Like Jeff Tool threw a
Tool.
The Bills were dominating the game.
They were playing great.
Yep. That was back when we had the soul-sucking losses to the Chiefs every November.
Man.
Anyway, here's a November Chiefs game.
9-0. I'm going to give the Chiefs a victory.
Sorry. Get out of here.
No, I flipped it. I'm screwing with you. The Bills will beat Kansas City. It'll be their first loss.
The first time I was actually going to get mad at you.
You picked the Bills to beat the – or, excuse me, wait, you're picking the Chiefs to win?
Bills will beat the Chiefs.
Okay, the Bills are beating. Okay.
Yes. All right,
Bills win. Bills win. Home Niners.
Man, I have no idea what to make of this team. I watched them – what are they, 4-4 now?
They're 4-4.
They looked like they were going to just blow Dallas away in the second half, and then they're hanging on. It's a very strange team.
Kyle Shanahan is terrible at closing out games.
They don't win from behind. Is this some stupid stat about how if they're down 10 in the fourth quarter,
they never won?
Yeah.
And they always keep
down
teams
in the second half.
They keep teams in games a lot.
And they're not up big as much because of all their injuries now. So.
Despite all that, I hope you enjoyed the Kansas City game. I'm giving San Francisco the victory in that one.
Wow. A little bit of a hangover.
Yeah, it's off a bye week.
It's off a bye week, aren't they?
It's a 2 week. They did a lot of partying.
Aren't they great off the bye?
They went to Cabo. Had a big time.
To Cabo.
Yeah. Bills at Rams.
Bills will win that game.
Okay. Bills at Lions.
I'm going to give that one to Detroit because there's just too many people talking about how unstoppable the Lions offense is. So I'll say Detroit.
I think are they the only team in the league above the Bills in point differential?
I think so.
Detroit's plus 100 on the year.
Bills home, Patriots.
Start the run, baby, to close the season, right? This is, barring some crazy instance, all these three games. Win over the Patriots, win over the Jets, win over the Patriots.
So that's 13-4. 13-4.
Is that the one seed?
No.
No.
The Chiefs would have to lose four games.
And the Bills would have the tiebreaker. Well, they have to lose three other games.
Three other games.
Sure, three
probably
others.
Not happening.
I don't think so.
Is it the two seed?
Sure. I mean, Baltimore's already at three losses.
Pittsburgh's in the first place in that division. If Houston, that's not going to sustain, right?
Nico Collins is maybe close to coming back, so that'd be good for them.
That would help, yeah.
Although I don't think they're really impressive. They're definitely that's a team that's got a good record, and they can say we're not playing our best football.
No,
right
they're
now.
Not. Yeah, I mean they've struggled in a couple of their wins that probably should have been losses. But anyway, so yeah, 13-4.
All right, very
good. Look at that, we're on time.
Very good.
Everything else good?
Yeah.
Josh is happy.
What else is going on?
Don't do that. We're on time. We're going to hit the break on time.
Bring up UFOs again?
Yeah. Any return visits?
I'd rather not talk about the conversation I had with an alien last night.
Very good.
It was in code, so I had to translate. It took a little while. I'm still working on the translation.
Fair enough.
I swear, I thought I saw a UFO last week. It's lights in the sky, and they drop straight down. I'm just making an observation. You guys are good? You need anything?
No.
Not really. I mean, the Sabres will win a couple more games.
There we go.
I thought they were fine last night. They're fine.
There was 2-0 before we got done with the TV show last night. Then I came home and watched the third period.
Okay. Well,
and
the second was really good. You missed the good one.
Yeah.
Second was really good.
It's all right. You know, bounce back. Islanders and Detroit, the next two games, win them both.
All right.
That would be 5 out of 6. So they'll be fine.
Our phone number, 803-0550. Howard picks the Bills. There you go. 13-4. That'd be fun. And the division by what, Thanksgiving?
I'm really not as quick as you guys to say that wouldn't be the one seed. I think Kansas City might lose three other games.
You got their schedule?
I really do.
They better start losing them fast.
I really do. They're not impressive to me. Like,
their defenses. They've given up more than 20 points just what, one time this season?
I think any game but at Carolina this year, they could lose. They could lose at Cleveland, to Jameis Winston. They could lose at Denver. They could lose at Pittsburgh. They could lose against the Chargers. They could lose any of these games. They're not.
That doesn't mean
impressive.
They're actually going to lose those games.
No, but I only need them to lose three. I don't need them to lose all of them.
Three.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah.
They only have.
They're 7-0
left.
They could be 9-0 coming in, 9-1. So they'd have to lose three out of their last seven games.
Law of averages. The bounces have been going their ways. They're going to start going the other way.
They're 7-0 right now.
7-0.
All right, they have 10 left. All right. Thanks,
all right,
Howard.
Fellas, nice to see you.
803-0550 to join us when we get back. Josh, get that rim shot ready.
Be caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR. Win a pair of tickets to see comedian Sean Murphy at Rob's Playhouse Theater on Saturday, November 2nd. Sean Murphy, New York City comedian, originally from Buffalo. Regular at the Comedy Cellar. He has a great YouTube special called Neil. Visit PlayhouseTix.com for details.
Comedian, huh? Sean Murphy's a great comedian.
Uh-oh.
Comedian.
Here we go.
You know, Joe, the other day I bought a thesaurus. And when I got home, I opened it up and all the pages were blank. I have no words to describe how angry I am.
That's a four.
Four.
That's a four.
What are you talking about? That's fantastic.
That's a four.
That was really good.
That was wordy.
All right.
That
was a dad joke in itself right there. That was wordy, describing a joke about words.
Oh.
True.
That was better.
It's too bad you feel that way because, you know, this is not a good segue. Whatever.
This is more to the joke?
No, this is another one. I stayed up all night wondering where the sun went, and then it dawned on me.
7.5.
7.5, all right.
I like that one.
We're making progress.
7.5, yep.
Do I have another one for you?
Give me a bad one.
A bad
one? Give me like a one. What's the worst one?
I mean, I delete the ones that on this list that are the real bad ones.
Yeah.
That I don't like. How about this one? What did the lunchbox say to the refrigerator?
What did he say?
Don't hate me because I'm a little cooler.
six.
Six. Okay, I got a six. All right. Hey, when we get back, not this.
Just 25 minutes of dad jokes when we come back.
When we get back, we've got it's a stunning the latest example of, man, I don't know. People complain about officiating all the time, and I guess we complain about broadcasters too. But there was a play last night, a moment in the Steelers Giants game, a pivotal moment that the main broadcast misses, and of course the Manning cast is on right away. We'll play the two reactions to the same moment and how it's another sign that for the longest time we've all been watching football and had it dumbed down for us to make us worse at understanding some of these things. So we'll play a couple highlights of that. Talk Bills Dolphins if you want that as well. 803-0550 on WGR.